No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
Welcome into the Pick and Save WFCA show. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Tom Swiddle. He is the past president of the WFCA, former head football coach at Brookfield East. Coach, it's good to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you on this Memorial Day weekend?
Man, it's nice out there.
It's beautiful.
Got home from work yesterday. All I thought about was if I can just get the grass cut. Matthew, my son, came over. He took the day off, came over in the morning, cut it for me.
What a nice guy.
What a nice boy.
I did it in the rain yesterday afternoon.
You know what I did then? I took a nap. That's what I did. I was so happy. Yeah. I'm telling you, that what a good gift that was. Hey, let me run down today's show. Our first guest is Mark Stewart. We're reaching out to him right now, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we're going to talk a little bit about football in focus again, an article that he wrote, and the WIAA leaving the door open again for district plan and football-only conferences. We'll discuss that with him. Then John Hoke. He's a WIA liaison for the WFCA, and we'll talk to John at 10:30. 11 o'clock in studio, one of my favorite people, Jeff Trickey. Yeah, I have to tell you how I met Jeff. I kept hearing all about Jeff Trickey, right? And I just, he was this guy that everybody put up on this pedestal, and rightfully so. And I was at a Waukesha West game, this number of years ago, for Thursday Night Lights. And I looked over, and someone said, yeah, there's Trickey over there. And I was really like, I didn't want to go up and say hi to him. Kind of felt like, you know. And he obviously turns, walks up. He goes, hey, are you Mike McGivern? I go, yeah. He goes, man, I love your stuff. I said, you're Coach Trickey. I know all about you. He's joining us at 11 o'clock in studio to talk a little quarterback development. And then 11:30, Brian Hoffman. He is from Wauwatosa West. We're going to talk about, he's the director of guidance, Wauwatosa West. We're going to talk about NCAA eligibility. But our first guest, if you don't read his stuff, the Journal Sentinel, you're missing out. Mark Stewart is as good as they get when it comes to prep sports, and we're now joined by Mark. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for coming on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. What a beautiful day out there today.
Yeah, hey, it's about time.
Yeah, you got to go out and cover. You got to go out and cover anything today?
No. I'm just working on some track story for the paper tomorrow, and just kind of getting a. You know, getting a few things ready, but nothing live.
That for Mark, that's taking it easy.
That's taking the day off. You know, he's always out there when it's raining and it's, you know, sub-zero. He's on the sidelines. Now it's a beautiful day. He doesn't get to be outside. No. Nothing fair about that. So, Tom, you know, the conference realignment that happened, people are still not happy about. And so now it's, you know, people are talking, can we get back to that district plan? Can we talk about football-only conferences? I think, personally, that that's going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't know your feeling on it.
Well, the fact that the WIAA is bringing it up speaks volumes, because for years, since the demise of the original district plan, what the WIAA has said to the WFCA is, well, look, if you get your members behind this, we can support it. But we're done. We're not doing anything to bring this back. And you know, because it came up at the state meeting, which Mark attended, and Mark wrote, I think, a great article on that. You know, I think it's interesting that it's been brought back. So. And Mark, you've attended a lot of these WIAA meetings. You've gone to the state meeting, you go to the area meetings, as they're called. And were you surprised that this topic came up?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't really surprised. I've kind of felt the sense, you know, rumblings of this coming along for a while now. Because, you know, what's you know, and the reason being is, you know, the hot topic always is conference realignment, especially around here the last few years. And if you want to get at what really is at the heart of conference realignment, a lot of times, you know, you look at the schools that want to be realigned, and more often than not, one of their issues is football. and finding a league where they can fit in. So, it didn't surprise me. I mean, I think, this is one of those things where, I think they liked the district idea back in 2009 when it came up the first time. It didn't, it lost momentum and eventually was shot down. But, personally, I think the idea, has a lot of pluses to it.
The first time that the district plan came up, Mark, it was a surprise to football coaches. It wasn't, there was no warning that this was on the horizon, and it was presented in such a manner like, you guys got to get on board with this. This is what's going to happen. And really what got in the way of that district plan, among other things, were, everybody's for it until they see where they're put.
Right.
And then, then coaches, they're thinking about, their own program and how that fits into the district plan. And last time in a survey that we did, we had 55% of the coaches in favor of the district plan and 45% were not. So it was pretty close.
What's needed?
Well, that's a great question because, in our dialogue with the WIAA, they've told us, well, you need to get your membership behind this. Okay, what does that mean? 80%? 90%? It's not like they give you a figure that tells you.
Because in a lot of places, 55%, you've got them. That's the majority.
Right. But not in this issue. And there were other things attached to that as well. And Mark, maybe you want to touch on some of the things that ultimately spelled doom for the district plan.
Yeah. Well, before I do that, one thing that I kind of thought was, I don't think it's a coincidence that, you had 55% for it last time and 45% against it approximately. Because if you look at who gets into the playoffs, it's about half and half. So, my theory with, votes like that is that, you'll get, some programs and some schools are traditionally, they traditionally make the playoffs and therefore they're fine with the status quo. And then you get others who, traditionally don't. And then, those are the ones that, end up supporting the plan. So the breakdown, I think, really goes in line with, the percentage of teams that get into the, into the playoffs now. It's about what, 50, almost 50-50 or so, I believe. So, I think, the other part, you can't, in anything major like this, pull a sneak attack and just throw it out there, and then have people, be warm to it. I mean, there's a certain ownership, especially, with, Tom, you're a football coach, you guys as an organization, in fact, no one likes for someone to come in and tell them what's best for their sport. So, I do think it's good this time that they're kind of easing in and kind of, it seems like there's more of a spirit of working together to make, to make this, make the plan work. But ultimately, what might have to happen is, someone might have to, take the bull by the horn and make a tough choice and say, hey, this is what is best for the sport in the WIAA. And I don't know who that would be, if that would have to be someone in, on the executive staff or someone, to, among the coaches. But, this is one of those topics where, you're not going to get that big percentage. It's just, I would be surprised if, when this survey comes back that you guys are doing this time, that if the percentages were much different.
We're talking to Mark Stewart, he's press writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we're talking, seems like we talk about it every once in a while.
We do.
For a while there, we talked about it a lot with the realignment. And now we're talking about, possibly going back to what was a district plan. Tom, do you remember what the people that were against that district plan, what was the reason they were against it? Because I thought that was a pretty good idea.
Well, I polled two conferences at that time, the North Shore and the Greater Metro Conference. And the way it broke down was all the Division I schools were against it, all the Division II and III schools were for it. Now, you can read that any way you want to read that, and I'm certainly not trying to say it's, you know, the Division I schools were the ones, but I can just tell you, in, at that time, when I asked every coach in those two conferences, that's how it broke down.
Why do you think that is?
Well, let's get to the heart of the matter here. The heart of the matter is football is the only state playoff where you earn your way in. So it's basketball, baseball, whatever. Everybody knows they're going to have a shot at the state tournament. Whereas in football, you have to qualify. So if you're in a conference where you've got Division I's, Division II's, and Division III's, like, say, the North Shore, I'm a Division III school, and I got to beat Division I schools in order to make the playoffs?
I want out.
Well, exactly. And I just think about my time at Wauwatosa East. We had to win four games. You have to have a winning record with when you play seven conference games. Four wins in your conference gets you in. Well, we were a Division II school. We beat the Division III schools, Division II schools, all three of them, and lost to the four Division I's, and we weren't in the playoffs. And there's always that, you know, if I could play somebody my size, I would have a better chance. And so this playoff equity thing is the heart of this whole matter. And this whole conference realignment, I really believe football is the number one factor in terms of why schools want to look at being in different conferences.
There's no doubt about that, that football is the driving force behind that. And the people that wanted out the most, that asked for relief the most, didn't get any. They did. That was the odd part for me. Is some of these schools like Waukesha North, Wauwatosa East, were saying, look, we can't continue to survive in this sport, in this conference. Can you help us? And instead of moving those teams out, they just added some teams to it. Wauwatosa West didn't ask for anything, and they got put into that conference.
Other than wanting to be in the same conference as Wauwatosa East, which, in an odd way, they got what they asked for were put in a league with Wauwatosa East.
Not happy about it, though,
at all. That's for sure.
Hey, Mark, can we hold you over for one more segment?
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
Excellent. We are talking to Mark Stewart. He's a preps writer for the Journal Sentinel, co-host Tom Swiddle, former head football coach at Brookfield East. We will get back to talking about realignments. I want to ask you guys if football-only conference is something that you guys think might happen as well. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show. We are presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Tom Swiddle. He is the former head football coach at Brookfield East and the past president of the WFCA. We are joined by Mark Stewart. He is a preps writer for Journal Sentinel. Guys, we're talking about football, and not talk too much about realignment, but maybe the idea of districts is something that we're going to talk about again. The idea of football-only conferences was also batted around here or there. Tom, you're feeling on something like that?
Well, I think it would be a great thing to do. I really do. If playoff equity is the thing behind the whole realignment, taking care of that and playing schools of similar size could take care of that.
You know, football is different than basketball. You know, if you're a Division III basketball team, you can compete with some Division I schools.
Oh, sure.
You know, you've got five on the floor, you got seven or eight on the bench. Football is such a numbers game.
Right.
And, you know, when Joe Cook was my co-host, he would say, look, I would two platoon to have, 44 kids ready to play. But he always talked, it's just purely a numbers game. And when you're a Division I team, that's for me why Catholic Memorial is an incredible story, because they compete at a high level in a Division I, basically a full Division I conference almost, and then do really well in the playoffs. Hey, Mark, what's your idea? What's your feeling on a football-only conferences?
I think that would, if you could sell the idea, you know, it seems like anytime you talk, we're talking conferences and districts, I mean, they're similar ideas, but I think with, you know, maybe if you go to conferences, you know, there might be a little more flexibility to get in. You know, if you got a traditional rival who isn't among your, you know, typically among your size, you know how it is. You have a school or two that you always play and have a good relationship with, or good rivalry with. You know, maybe that would open the door for something like that. I would think that. I'm kind of getting off on a tangent, but I always would think that it would be easier to just have an all play system for the playoffs than to go around and start messing around and realigning conferences. Because for the most part, I think schools like the people they're competing against. It's just they don't like sometimes, you know, the results, you know.
Right.
But geographically it works, and, you know, there's not a lot of travel. I don't know if I've had this talk with Tom, or I mentioned it to Dan Brunner, and it seems like there's not a lot of support for the all play plan. But it would seem like if you got, you know, if you gave the top half of schools buys, had those bottom half teams playing that first week, then in week two you would have what we have right now in week one, where there are going to be some blowouts. That's just the nature of the beast. Schools do their best, I think, after it's out of hand to get the game over with, you know. So, I mean, that's going to happen. But that's just my tangent. And we got to get past the idea that we can't play football after because of the conflict of hunting season.
Deer hunting.
You know, deer hunting. Those are a couple of my pet peeves.
Mark, people that move here from outside of the state, or I talk to in different states, they always think I'm kidding when I tell them that our football season has to end before deer hunting season starts. And they go, come on, you're kidding. And I go, no. And even if they pushed it back a week, don't you think those kids that were playing and the families that got a chance to play at Camp Randall would put off going deer hunting for a day or two to be able to play in that game? And I get guys from up north saying, no, if we'd lose half our players if they couldn't go deer hunting the first couple of days of deer hunting. And I just shake my head like, are you kidding? And they're serious. They're like, no. So I don't know if that's ever going to change. Tom, your thought on that?
Well, I know it's not going to change, because the WIAA will not have playoffs over Thanksgiving weekend. It's not going to happen. That's off the table. They've made it very, very clear. And that's even come up in a different forum in that, you know, with the early start to the season. You know, you're starting in, you know, well, August 1st. Really, you're supposed to be starting this year July 31st. And next year you're scheduled to start July 30th, although we've done some things to make it an August 1st start. Like one or two days makes a big difference, right? You know. But if you just moved it back a week, you've got 400 schools that play football. And in essence, you're making 400 schools start early. And, you know, when you could start second week of August or whatever, and just you'd have 14 schools playing Thanksgiving weekend, right? You know, 400 versus 14.
It's, other states play Thanksgiving weekend.
But here's the thing. Those most of the states that play in northern climates have a dome. So they're playing inside. And we don't have that luxury. And there's no question that sometimes on Thanksgiving weekend, it is mighty cold. And, who wants to sit out in that and watch football? So there are some reasons why, you know, that we're not doing that. But you're right. I mean, if you could, that would change some things.
But you're saying there's no discussion. There's no discussion.
We've had that discussion multiple times.
Tom, so a lot of the WIAA, their answer on a lot of questions, like when I talk to them about spring and summer baseball, can't you do a hybrid? And they say, get the members. If the members want it, we work for them. So, but in this, it doesn't matter what the members want, because their decision is final.
Well, understand what football coaches may want. It could be different than what administrators want. And the bottom line is, with the different levels, and we're going to talk to John Hoke about this stuff in a few minutes, but at the different levels that you have to go through to change rules and regulations, it's ultimately administrators who make that decision and not football coaches. But we've brought things forward that have been unanimous with us for the football advisory that has been shot down at the next level or two.
It's just interesting to me. And look, I like the people at WIA. Yeah. They come on the show. Wade Lebecki's a really good guy.
Good man.
But there are times that where I'll ask him a question, and his answer is, if that's what the members want, we work for them. We'll do it. But on something like this, he doesn't say that. They don't say, if that's what the members want, we'll look into it. It's a non-starter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, and Wade, it's not so much Wade, but what does Dave Anderson think? I mean, he's the guy in charge.
Right.
You know, he's got to get behind it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's
I was going to say, that does carry a lot of weight, because I do, like you mentioned before, I go to a lot of the board meetings they have each month. And if there's something that the executive staff or Dave really says to the Board of Control, hey, we really need to look at this. I mean, don't underestimate the weight that carries. That is an interesting dichotomy, that sometimes it's what the members, what the members want, and sometimes for whatever reason, you can't get topics started. And who knows, maybe the members don't want.
Well, and there's another way of looking at this. You know, if it's not broke, you don't have to fix it either. And when you look at it, and Mark, you mentioned this in your article, after boys and girls basketball, the WIAA makes more money off of football and the football playoffs than any other sport. And so, you know, these sports that are making money on their state tournaments, they're paying for all the sports that don't make money and lose a ton of money on their state tournaments. So there's an economic ledger, too, that is being looked at. And what's the bottom line of playing, Thanksgiving weekend, your state championships, versus the weekend before when you don't have deer hunting and Thanksgiving and things like that?
How do you know unless you try it?
I agree.
You know, I think what's happening with them pushing, look, they're losing some coaches, they're losing some players because they're starting so early.
Agreed.
When I was growing up, we always took the first 2 weeks of August, and we went to the Charnade Resort in Waupaca, and it wasn't really a resort; it was just a cottage. But we went up there, and then when we came back, is when football season started, and now you can't go away the first 2 weeks in August,
right?
If you want to play football, and I think. The other thing is they're starting the season so early that school's not in play for the first 3 weeks,
right,
which is incredible. So I think they got to look at that, because the schools are losing some money because there's not a lot of kids coming to those games.
Well, when you have a third of your season over before the first day of school, that's a little weird.
Something's not right. Hey, Mark, thank you so much for your time. Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Hey, you too. Hey, I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, Mark, thank you so
Mark,
much.
I'm sorry. You know, last thing, I was really sorry the last couple of weeks to see some other prep writers get let go at some different places, man. Those are some good guys, and I think people that really cared a lot about prep sports. So I feel bad for those guys.
Yeah. It's a challenging time in the industry. We could talk a whole hour on the challenges of journalism these days, but yeah, those guys, locally, Steve Cheeks and Chuck Delsman and John Reck and some of the photographers with the Suburban Papers. They did a great job, and they'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, I agree. I think Delsman had a lot to do with, a lot of us being able to. For me to come in here and talk about this, he started that stuff, a long time ago, and he had such a passion and love. Still does for high school sports. And Steve Teets, man, everywhere I went, he was there.
Yeah.
That guy worked really hard, so they're going to really be missed, and I hope they catch on somewhere here locally so we can continue to read their stuff. Mark Stewart, thanks a lot. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, y'all.
You got it. Yep. Right. Let's get to a break. John Hoke, WIAA liaison to the WFCA, will join us on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, past president of the WFCA. He's a WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head football coach at Brookfield East, Tom Swiddle. We are now joined by John Hoke. He is the WIAA liaison for the WFCA. And, John, we spent the first two segments talking to Mark Stewart from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about this idea of maybe bringing that district plan back. We also talked about football-only conferences, and just wanted to spend a couple of segments with you and some follow-up on that conversation. But first and foremost, John, I'm sorry, how are you? How's the wife and kid? Everybody's good?
Everybody's good, Mike. You know, it's a great weekend, and it's good to talk a little bit of football and hopefully, you know, again, move the state of football in Wisconsin forward.
John, right at the end of our last segment with Mark, we had talked about that with the WIAA to talk about playing tournament football during the Thanksgiving Day weekend is a non-starter. They will not talk about it. And I made the comment, look, on a lot of these subjects, when I talk to them about it, that like a summer, spring baseball, can't we do a hybrid? They'll say to me, look, if that's what the members want, then we'll discuss it. But this is a non-starter. They, even if the members wanted to play over Thanksgiving, the WI will not budge on that.
You're right on that. We've been told numerous times, Tom's been in on those committees, and that is one thing that's not going to change. So then we got to work from that date. And when we work forward, there's a few solutions you can come up with to a couple things. One is the early start, but also the idea of equity and trying to play in your conference and staying within the conference that you're at or changing conferences, those type of items. And then the district football. And district is probably a word that's probably not going to be used, I think, in the future as far as this change in the football, because it talks about the district relates to playoff system and other items like that that kind of are tied into that. And we really believe, I think our membership believes, that our playoff system is probably one of the better ones around.
Tom, your feeling on that? And when you were a head coach, did you ever think, boy, I wish we had it like basketball, baseball, where it was, you know, everybody made the playoffs and we started with that?
I don't know that I've ever been a proponent of all play. And in football, you know, all play is, you could have some really uneven matchups, you know, if you're seeding and doing things like that.
Well, you have it in basketball. I mean, there are some games that just shouldn't be played. But
in football, you can get physically pounded, beat up, you know, and that's not saying there isn't contact in basketball.
Right. I understand that.
But football, you know, when you're, if you have a team of 20 that's playing a school that's suiting up 80, and, you know, it could get out of hand in a real hurry and a detriment to everyone's health. But there have been times, as I said with Mark Stewart, that, you know, geez, we've beaten the Division II schools and we've lost to the Division I schools in our conference and we're not in the playoffs. Yet I look at some of those other Division II schools who have made the playoffs from the league they're in, and yes, I would have loved to have had the opportunity to have played in that situation.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, John, is it at times frustrating for you to be the liaison between the WIAA and the WFCA?
I think so, but I try to keep it as positive as I can, knowing that if I can stay in the right frame of mind, I know that over the years of working, they have to be on our side for us to move forward. And if that means kind of bending a little bit more out of what you sometimes believe, I think I do that a little bit. to help that situation along. I don't want to create a situation where it's, I'm battling with WIA, battling with Wade Lebecki or Dave Anderson or anybody in that situation.
Hey, John, you know our political world right now needs you. You know what? we need a guy like you that says, look, I might not get everything I want, but I know that we need each other, so let's work together. So, look, I'm going to start a whole petition, John Hoke, for governor or president or something.
We won't go that far.
You know, John, I the district plan, when you hear that, you get a rash. You were the president of the WFCA when that came about, and that was, without question, the most tumultuous time for our organization. You know, there were so many strong feelings on both sides of it that it was really a difficult time for you as president, wading through all that. When you hear the word district plan, do you just get all worked up?
I don't get worked up, but I do get excited because I think it was defeated before it even had a chance to see the light. It was one of those situations that there were a couple things that some people didn't like, got people excited. You know, I think that it wasn't totally supported by the executive staff and the WIA, so then it got shot down there. It was an ugly time, and there were, but I think when you look at the big picture, it's created a lot of positive thoughts from then on. Once we get over that, to help out our football and really make an area where that we can make improvement. And I've been really excited about that.
Are there other states around our state that have district football?
Yeah, there is. You know, Iowa does, Minnesota does. I think Michigan went to it, but they're included all play, and they're finding out that's not probably the best in that first round. I know that I've talked to a few people from Minnesota that are close to, and they're doing a study now and finding out the differential of the first round game is not good for football. That's
but we have that now, though. Don't you know that first round? You know, I do that Friday night high school football scoreboard show. That first round, it's difficult for me to get 15 games that I think that even have a chance to be close to get our to get my sideline reporters to.
Yeah, and I agree that that first round can be quite a differentiator. But you know, you look at that first round and get rid of the 1-8-7-2 and go to the 4-5. They usually have a pretty good battle in that.
Correct.
In that setting. But we're leaving half the teams out. Now we bring those other half teams that didn't qualify back into the playoff picture. It's got to get worse, I think.
Yeah, it would get worse. I agree with that. But yeah, I'm just trying to – were you guys for the district plan?
I was.
Yes?
When that was presented to us, I was for the district plan.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are for it. More than what we think. I did some surveys back then, or we did some surveys at WFCA, and it was up to about 74% were kind of in favor of some type of change of district plan situation at that time. But they couldn't answer some of the questions that were causing problems. And it was all enrollment-based. So travel caused a little bit of problem. People not wanting to leave their own conference where they were and losing the chance of playing some non-conference games that they had. I mean, if you could find something wrong, people were finding something wrong with the district plan.
I would have loved to have been at some of those meetings. Hmm. I bet there were some discussions going on. And
right.
Some football coaches can get heated sometimes.
Right. But again, you know, and we've talked about this already, John, today, but you know, every coach looks at it from their perspective. You know, there's, okay, what's best for the state, but then what's best for me and my program? And certainly some of the people who were against the district plan had good reason why they were. You look at it like I shared with Mike that I had polled the North Shore Conference and the Greater Metro Conference at that time, and the way it broke down was the Division Ones were against it, the Divisions Two and Threes were for it. But then you look at, like, why was Marquette against it? Well, they were put into a district that included all the MPS schools. And so now you're looking at, you know, they don't even have lower level teams that they can play. I mean, it would have been a nightmare for Marquette. I understand why Marquette was against it, you know.
Sure.
So, I mean, everybody had their reasons. And I don't know how we can fix the travel situation in the northwest part of the state. You know, schools are traveling by somebody to go play somebody an hour away, you know, because of size, if you go strictly on enrollment, right. You know. So, anyway.
Yeah, guys, we got to get to a break. John, we're going to hold you over for one more segment, so please stay tight. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle, former head football coach at Brookfield East. Our special guest, John Hoke. He's the WIAA liaison for the WFCA. You know, I had a laugh when I said, is that a frustrating gig? He's like, yeah, kind of. I try not to let it be, but
John's got to be the ultimate middleman. You know, I mean, he's got to listen to the association, but also listen to the WIAA. And as he said, he's got to play both sides.
And try to get things done,
exactly.
Which is difficult. I don't know how you can make everybody happy.
You can't.
You can't. But and there's some people. Look, a couple of schools were asking for some relief, a couple of schools that we had in here said, look, we will, Germantown, Homestead said, you know what, it's okay, you can move us. We don't mind. If you want us to go into a tougher conference, sign us up. We're ready to go. And so you had some schools stepping up saying, look, it's okay with us. We don't mind. If there's some schools that need relief, give them relief. If you have to use us, use us. That didn't happen. The other thing that they did back then that I had a problem with is I think when realignment, when Deb finally said, okay, if you guys don't like this, figure it out yourself. And there's no chance that was going to work. No chance. So that when she then came up with this one that is now in play, she said, I gave you guys a chance to do it yourself. You couldn't do it. Now we're going to go with this, and this is the way it's going to work. And that's kind of what's it now. And there's not everybody's happy, and that's now why they're back talking either football-only conference or districts.
And I'd like to ask you, John, do you see this, you know, the fact that the WIAA is bringing this up again at the state level in front of all the schools, district plan, conference only, football conference only, do you see that as a direct reflection of the feedback they've gotten about conference realignment?
I believe so, and we all know that conference realignment is driven by football for the most part. I can't say all, but for the most part. And they continually have that battle with conference realignment, trying to get some equity into a situation that at times is not there. And I look at it, and we're a small school, Lancaster, but we've been fortunate enough to win, so it's doesn't bother us.
Win a lot,
as
John.
As much as it could be. And these are schools that traditionally can't make the playoffs, don't have that opportunity for their kids, their school, their community to have that atmosphere of something really exciting in the fall, because it's pretty much impossible for them to field a team that's going to win when they're playing, Division two or three teams playing Division one team or whatever it might be. If you take away that game, maybe they make the playoffs.
Right.
Maybe they go .500 against their own division.
Right. Now, John, you met recently with Tony Biolo and other coaches, and you talked specifically about this. Can you give us some insight who was in that group and some of the things that you guys tossed around?
You bet. We just met this past weekend. Brian Kaminsky, Patrick Wagner, myself, Rodney Winnick, Matt Hensler, and Tony met, and we talked, and we looked at a couple different scenarios and what we can get accomplished, and we came up with the idea that our playoff system is not broke or anything wrong with that. We also talked about the concern of early start, but that's a whole other ball game. And so then we said, well, how are we going to do it? And, Wade, there are some, like I said earlier, there are some things that go along with the word district that affects it. So it's probably going to be classified as football only. And what we're going to do is we're going to survey again our membership and find out, are you satisfied with where you're at right now or not in your league? And maybe how the squeaky wheel gets the most grease in that. And maybe there's a lot of schools that are happy with where they are, and then maybe we won't have to touch them, and which is perfectly okay. And then we looked at, from there, we're going to ask a couple questions about the, would you be willing to go to an 8-game season? Are you willing to go by enrollment? There's a lot of different ideas out there with enrollment. Some people want to go with adding free and reduced lunch program into the enrollment, figure that out. Every time you think you take a step forward, it seems like you take a half step back.
And, John, we only have about 30 seconds left, but should something come out of the survey, what is the next step then? Something comes out that's strong that football coaches want. It goes to what, John? One minute.
Again, we hope it goes into December, and we keep pushing for it in our December meeting. Eventually, what we found out, Tom, this is we bring it up 2-3 times. Eventually, it gets passed, and hopefully, that would be the steps that we would take, and WIA would move forward with it.
Hey, John, really quickly, last question. You said when you survey the schools, do you survey the coaches? Do you survey the administrators? Who would you ask how they're feeling if it would be a football only conference?
We're going to start out with the coaches because that's who we're concerned with, the WSCA. And if they're happy with it, then why would we even go any further talking to the ADs or the administration? So it's kind of a couple step process. We want to find out what the coaches' feelings are and then move forward from there.
John, good luck with all this. Again, if you want to run for some office, I'd probably vote for you. You're getting things done. John Hoke, have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You guys too. It's beautiful, and I'm ready to go out and get some work done.
That's Say awesome. Hi to Shelly for me.
You bet.
Excellent, guys. Let's get to a break. Other side of the break, Jeff Trickey in studio talking quarterback development with the guy that knows a lot about quarterback development, I'll tell you that. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
No games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGivern.
Welcome back to the WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Tom Swiddle, former head football coach at Brookfield East. We are now joined in studio by Jeff Trickey from the Jeff Trickey, Randy Wright quarterback camps, quarterback speed, all kinds of stuff.
Quarterback receiver, yes.
Quarterback receiver.
Yeah, we added
receiver. Got to get those receivers in there.
Yeah, the pretty boys need a little time, too. There you go. Right. Coach, good to see you again, sir. How you been?
I've been wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for having me, and
yeah.
Enjoy sharing things with all you and everybody.
Well, I really appreciate you coming in. First and foremost, Rhonda, everybody's good?
Everybody's great.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
A couple days ago, right?
Yes,
that's
you.
Facebook right there.
Well, I got to get on that.
You got to get on Facebook.
So do I, Tom. She's on it with Mike and everybody else,
yeah.
But I'm...
I know all about what's going on in your life. I did get a notice that it was her birthday. So I am. It was so fun that day that we had your wives in. It really was. It was. She was she was different than she was like, look, I don't know anything about football, but I know all about it. It's really a fun event, and and being a football coach to her was something special.
Well, my wife Rhonda is my soulmate and my dearest friend, but quite honestly, she's sat through hundreds and hundreds of football games like Tom's wife, and she acknowledges that I don't know that much about it, but she's very social, and she will cheer when everybody else is cheering. when my son was playing, that's a little different when your guy is on the field.
Right.
But otherwise, she's there for to support. And
Work hard. And I've said it a million times, Coach, there's a special place in heaven for coaches' wives.
Oh, boy.
And you, Tom, you know this better than any of us.
Man.
Because especially at Brookfield East, and I don't know about Tulsa East, but your wife was, she was your right-hand person.
Absolutely. She did more work than I did.
And you say that, and you, like, it's not like you're kidding.
No, I'm not. You know, we'd get off the practice field on Thursday night after our walkthrough. She had every jersey up and hanging on a hanger for passing out. You know, she took care of that kind of stuff and everything else.
Joe Cook wanted to hire her in the worst way.
Yeah.
He said, can I hire her to come to Greenfield? Because I need her. And she's like, I'm done. Nobody can hire me out. Hey, Jeff, how are the camps going?
Wonderful. Really, really well. We've kind of taken a little different model. Randy Wright took the camps over 5 years ago, and I'm consulting with him and working with him. And Randy and Kelly Wright do it full time. And they have, we've done a great job with, we're kind of centralizing the Midwest now, as we really want to focus on this area rather than, I used to enjoy the travel for a while, but it was destination sites in San Diego and Denver.
Nothing wrong with that.
Scottsdale, right? San Francisco,
Vegas.
I mean,
smart boy over there.
I remember when we started the expansion, and Tom will know that we have a chance to speak at a number of football clinics, and invariably you'll have a coach who would come up and say, hey, Jeff, would you think about bringing your camp to San Francisco? We got a great facility, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, let me look into it. So it evolved and it became very popular and we had great success. And it gave me a chance to go to places I'd never been. And I got to take my staff to go to San Francisco and Scottsdale and Denver and Las Vegas and San Diego. And these are nice places to visit. And we'd always go in the spring weekends, like February, March, we'd fly out.
You're smarter than most football coaches.
I haven't heard Anchorage, Alaska camp.
No, I haven't heard anything about, you know, someplace in Philadelphia, right out of Philadelphia, that's bad.
I got to tell you, when Tommy said Anchorage, I was speaking at a clinic in Seattle, and I'm speaking, and I had a wonderful time, and you know, you go 3 hours, and the guys are all in, they're all in there, and during the second intermission, a gentleman and three of his staff come up to me, and they said, Coach, my name is so-and-so, and we're from Fairbanks, Alaska. And we started talking, and he said, do you like fishing, and do you like hunting? And I said, you know, I'm sorry, I've never, my dad wasn't a fisherman, I don't hunt, you know.
Yeah.
But he said, I know you played golf. I said, yes, I love to play golf. He said, if you came to Fairbanks, we could get you a midnight tea time. I mean, during the summer, the sun's up all day. You can play golf till you don't want to play anymore. And he said, if we can just get you up there. So I laughed and I said, well, we'll talk.
Yeah. You didn't reach back out to him at all.
Well, I'm just not a fisherman. And he
hey, Jeff, the reason to do these camps started why?
Well, it's interesting, Mike. Many years ago, I was 21 years old, young coach, Cudahy High School, and Jerry Bowe, God love him, and who we lost, and I miss him every day. Jerry said, "Hey, let's go over to Detroit. There's Al Fracassa, is a great coach at Brother Rice, and I'm 21, 22 years old. And let's go. I'm ready to go now. You know." We go over to Al Fracassa's camp, and it's just a one-day camp, and he brings a couple of his receiver guys in to just be quarterback coaches, and you know, it was kind of informal, but it was great, and it was just quarterback. So we went there about 2 years, and then some of the Wisconsin coaches in the Milwaukee area said, Jeff, listen, you go over to Michigan, why don't you start a camp? I was at Waukesha South in 1986, and he said, why don't you start a camp? We can send our kids to you and to teach them just the technique and so forth and be ready for camp to open up. So we started at Waukesha South in, I believe, 1988, and we had about 25 kids, and it was fabulous. I just loved it. I was happier than and then the next year we had about 80 kids, and we went to two sessions, and then we expanded. Mike Dressler was up in Wausau, and Mike said, could you bring it up there? And then it just evolved, and I had tremendous coaches, and we teach more than just quarterback play, and we try and teach character and life lessons and leadership and so forth. So.
Well, and that's the part, Jeff, that I was going to get into with you. You know, I think that the idea of being able to coach up quarterbacks and receivers is great, right. But I think you guys do take it serious, that next level, yeah. And that is, look, we're not only just going to talk X's and O's. Let's talk about the leadership side of what you're going to run that huddle. That's your huddle.
Yes.
These guys are going to look at you differently. You're looked at differently when you walk down the hallway. You're looked differently when you're in the convenience store. People exactly. watch you because you're the quarterback, and you need to take that seriously.
Well, you know, the dynamic of the position, it's just evolved into it's you get way too much credit when you play quarterback and things go well, but you also take a lot of the hit at times, which you want to put it on yourself. And quarterback, I've always said, everything you do, as Mike said, is magnified 10 times over. Whether you're in, with your teammates, your parents, how you treat your parents, how you treat your teachers, your administrators, your friends. So they have to. We have a motto that we stand for is accept the risk of leadership. And I really believe that. As a coach, you two guys know it as well as anybody. It's a risk putting yourself in front of your kids and your parents and your administrators, your community. And unless you accept the risk of changing a young man and making him a better person, then you shouldn't even be in it. And that's where our field, I think, sometimes is so underestimated, what coaches, ladies, women coaches, men coaches, teachers, what we accept being in a teaching environment. And so we've always, that's what we've stressed and that, how to lead.
Do you know, I don't know if many people will use that, accept the risk. We as coaches might say, well, you know, why isn't this point guard, why can't he hit a free throw down the stretch of a game?
Yeah.
Why can't he? And maybe as coaches, we need to early on talk about accept. Are you going to accept that risk? Because if you do, you're going to put yourself out there. And a lot of these kids sit in bed, you know, late at night and dream about, you know, knocking down that three at the end of the game. But do we as coaches say, look, there's risk, and you want to take that last shot?
Yeah.
That's great, but accept the risk.
Well, Tom's son played quarterback. We had him in camp, and I know as a coach coaching your own son and watching him in the environment, in the arena, he wants it on him. My son wanted it on him. I think you guys,
yes.
as coaches, down the stretch, I want it on me, and it's for my teammates. But who else do you want? And it's a mindset, but it can be,
Yeah, I've always said, Coach, that you know, being a quarterback isn't just playing a position. It's a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
You know, and you said it, Mike. Kids look at you differently when you're the quarterback.
Yes.
When there's 4 minutes to go and you need a score, they have to have faith in you. And they have faith in you because you are who you are at school and in the classroom and outside the classroom. You know, what are you doing when there aren't any coaches or parents around?
Right.
Because
exactly.
those kids know what is going on.
You know, Coach Wallersheim talks a lot at Martin Luther about you can't be undisciplined in your life for 22 hours a day and then come to a practice and be disciplined. It can't be done. And you might be able to get by one day or 2 days or a week, but it's going to catch up to you. And I think that has a lot to do with what you're talking about with accepting the risk. The kids look at you, especially if you're the quarterback, they get looked at differently. You know, wherever they are, and people will say, look, here, this is Johnny. He's the quarterback of our football team. They won't say, hey, this is Johnny. He's the left tackle. But they'll say he's a quarterback of our football team.
And linemen are the ones that don't get enough credit. Those are the guys that do all the dirty work. And we have a tradition that our quarterbacks, they bring a treat every Saturday morning when we meet for film, 7:59. The first thing that happens is you distribute a candy bar just to those 7 or 8 kids. And I say, I don't want it a big deal. I don't want other people to be, hey, you go to those guys, and those are the guys that you mention on Friday night, because whether you like it or not, you're the guy that gets most of the credit, and you're the guy that gets interviewed. So I think it also, the position is adversity, and it tells you how to handle it and how not to.
I agree. I'm sorry to cut you off, Coach. We got to get to a break. Other side of the break, going to find out a couple other things you're doing. Got some other things coming up. And talk a little bit more. My phone is blowing up with guys like Brian Staffelt, said he played. Eric Block is a guy that used to do some Friday night stuff. He went to your camps. And, man, everybody's got a Jeff Tricky story. I'll tell you that. We'll get to a break. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Tom Swiddle, my co-host. We are joined in studio by Jeff Tricky talking quarterback development. Jeff, we talked during the break. You've got something going on right now at Next Level with high school coaches. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's primarily just private instruction for high school quarterbacks or younger quarterbacks.
Okay, I thought it was coaches. I'm sorry.
Coaches, a lot of coaches come and they sit and watch and they'll watch. They can't coach their own kid or their own athletes, but they'll come and watch the development. But now, I'm enjoying. I really enjoy the one-on-one interaction and work. It's high intensity, and Next Level is the most incredible sports performance facility around, and they just do a tremendous job out there. So
I was there a couple weeks ago and saw Coach Tricky working.
Yeah, Tom was there, sure. It's a great opportunity for me to teach, and I love to teach, and these kids are young men that want to learn. They want to be there. They're focused, and so I'm enjoying that, and I'm going to be able to do a little more of that in the summer. So
Jeff,
how
do they get information on that?
Yeah, good. Thank you for asking. I'm going to limit it somewhat because I want to be able to meet the needs of the kids that I have. So I'm going to, they can contact me at my cell phone, 262-719-4257, or they can email me at jtricky, T-R-I-C-K-E-Y, at wi.rr.com. But if they have a young man that's interested in one-on-one intense focused instruction, it's not going to be a playtime. And these kids are just terrific. It's not sandbox or anything.
You know why he says that, right? So these kids understand. You know what? If we're going from 1 to 2, get out here at 12:30. Warmed up. Get yourself ready to go because at 1 o'clock. It's not we're going to hang out and talk about how your summer's going. We're going to work.
Well, that's it. I mean, these young men, and there's so many young athletes, women, men, young, that are really want to be taught. You know, I think that's one of the things that's overlooked with when people look at programs is how much real solid teaching that coaches do. And they care unconditionally about making your daughter or your son a better person. And if we don't, then shame on us.
Well, and you know, I can certainly attest to that. My son went to Jeff's camps for a number of years, and I could tell it had an impact on him because he thought differently when it was done. You know, he wasn't, you know, that carefree, I'm just going to go out there. And, you know, it was a purpose. It was meaningful, you know, the things he did. And I attribute a lot of his success to working with individuals like Jeff.
Jeff, can you identify, and maybe you can't, maybe there isn't one, but in today's world, in today's day and age, is there one thing that kids at the high school level all struggle at? Is it footwork? Is it the mind game? Yeah.
That's a great question, because I think when you get to the quarterback position, what has transpired, and Tommy and I know that 7-on-7 involvement is terrific. I mean, it gives the kids an opportunity to get out and throw and catch and defend and so forth without high-intensity collisions, and we're developing things. But what it does do with quarterbacks, and Steve Rux, my dear friend and head coach at Waukesha West, we loved it, but it's make-believe football for quarterbacks if you allow it to be. So if you just allow the quarterback, and he's gone spring and summer and done these 7-on-7s with his teammates, and it's fun because you got time, and they can time it with a clicker, but hey, there's no pressure. You got a clean pocket, great vision, and hey, their footwork
down
goes down. So yeah. Now when you say, all right, listen, let's go to Friday night football or Thursday night football, you got 1.6 seconds or 2.2 to get it off. We've got to have your feet in great position and balance to use your arm talent. You know, all these kids, like, you know, they have arm talent, but it's your lower platform. It's your feet. And Randy Wright, he and I have talked many times, and he concurs that it's your feet to get you in position to throw on time.
You know, you football guys are now starting to see what us basketball guys have gone through with AAU basketball for a long time. Where, you know, whoever gets the defensive rebound is going to shoot. You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
And we had Brian Staffelt and his group from Wisconsin Focus in, and you know, they're doing some other things. Scott Cook and the Malachnik guys at Basketball Rap doing some different ways. But they're, you know, that's 7-on-7. I see 3-4 years down the road, guys, it's going to get ugly.
Oh, if you allow that to just carry over and not, you know, not take over with footwork. But the one thing I want to mention before I'm kind of excited about something that happened last year. And last year was my first year not on the sideline. And as Tom will attest, I mean, I saw you, Mike, at a couple games.
Yeah,
you said, what are you doing? Now
you were way over there. Yeah.
It's an adjustment. It's all we've done our lives in the fall. So last year, I got a couple calls up in Minneapolis, in fact, and down at Cole College and a few others, just to come down and speak to their team about team building, about the bond of we, and creating a we environment in any type of team element, and talking about building character through sports and leadership, what it means on a team to develop a leadership core that everybody else can react and identify and get on. So I really, what we did is this coach asked me the first time, he said, why don't you come up and I did 6 half-hour quarterback evaluations, one-on-one, just one boy and his parents and myself. Half hour, 30 minutes, and just worked on feet, arm motion, not a long lesson, but 30 minutes, 6 of his kids in his program that all were quarterbacks from senior starter down. And so I worked with those kids for a half hour with their parents, and then I spoke at their kickoff night, their parent, student, athlete, parent meeting, and just talked a little bit about developing team and community and what coaches invariably would like me to touch on is the positive involvement of parents and how can that parent be actively involved and be a positive. And it's so tough because it's all tough parents,
yep.
man. We're all parents, and we want the best for our sons. But as Tom will probably concur, if the parent understands that we as coaches, we're teachers first. We're not coaches, I hope. And we care unconditionally about your son or your daughter because they're part of me now. I said every kid I've ever coached, we're spending more time together than you do with your dad.
Right.
Between now and November, you know. So if we as coaches don't share our commitment to being a positive character, share leadership, share how you become a team, and not just, you know, I've always said making a team is one thing. Kids are so fired up to make a team. But becoming a team is so different. And each one of us every year, that's a huge challenge, is to get the dynamic of we. So I'd like to maybe reach out to anybody that's interested. I'm going to do these in August during two-a-days when you have your parent meeting, your meet the coaches yeah. kickoff. And if they're interested, just give me a call. I'd love to do it.
You know what, Jeff? So we had you slated to come in and talk about quarterback development. And that for you, quarterback development, is different than it is for some people listening. Uh-huh. When they heard us say we're going to talk about quarterback development with Jeff Tricky, they probably thought, where's my hands, my feet, you know, the vision, running maybe the huddle. But there's so much more to what you do, and I really appreciate the work you do. If you want to get a hold of Jeff, either to have him come in for what he had just talked about or the private quarterback lessons out at Next Level, two ways to get a hold of him is phone number 262-719-4257. 262-719-4257 or jtricky@wir.com. Coach, it's always a pleasure to see you, sir.
Thank you, and we'd love to have the kids at camp. We have it at West Bend. We've got them in Madison, all over the Midwest, but we'd love to have them at Tricky Wright camps, and we can share some of that, too.
The original so quarterback guru right here.
Oh, yeah. Is that
the original.
The quarterback.
I don't even know what guru means.
Yeah, the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're going to call it. Hey, that, you know, with the website, and I should have brought that up, it's Tricky Wright KBR, so it's quarterbackreceiver.com. One word, Tricky Wright KBR.com.
QBR. If,
QBR.
Yeah.
QBR.
Yeah.
K.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kicker. Yeah, man, you got to get kickers in there. QBR.
He's muscling it on the Coles territory.
I'd be in trouble there.
Yeah, you don't want any part. You don't want to mess with those guys. Coach, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Gilman.
You bet. Get to a break. Other side of the break, Brian Hoffman, Director of Guidance at Wauwatosa West. We're talking about NCAA eligibility, and those rules constantly changing. We'll talk to Brian about that. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save WFCA show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle. We're now joined by Brian Hoffman. He is the Director of Guidance at Wauwatosa West, and we're talking NCAA eligibility, and they're changing all the time, Coach Swiddle. You got to keep on top of this stuff.
Well, academic eligibility, Mike, is an integral part of recruiting. It is, and I just think it's overlooked. And I think so many things are taken for granted by players and parents that things are just going to work out in that way. And you have to be on top of this stuff. And Brian knows as much about the NCAA eligibility as anybody I know. Brian, thank you for being on with us this morning.
Hey, my pleasure, Mike and Tom. I guess before we get going here, I just want to give my quick salute to Tom and I mean, I think a lot of people listen to this show and know him very much as Coach Swiddle, but it's truly been my pleasure to work with him as a fellow school counselor. And to me, he represents professionalism and compassion and a true mentor to me. And I certainly appreciate all his years of service to our profession.
Well, thank you.
That's awesome. That's really good words. In fact, that, you know, Brian, when you say that, you're right. A lot of people that listen to the show just think of him as a football coach, a really good football coach. But there's so much more to what Tom does and how much he's given back to these young student athletes. Hey, Brian, the changes that you know, before we start with the changes, Tom made a comment that parents have to understand that it's not going to just all work out. You really do need to keep on top of it. What part of that statement rings most true to you, Brian, when you get parents or kids coming in and all of a sudden they're now a junior in high school and they haven't really thought about this for a couple of years? What is, I guess, most surprising to these parents and kids when they come see you about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things to remember, and you know, there's no obligation necessarily from the school district, from the coach, from the recruiters to represent the best interests of the student athlete, and really ultimately it falls on the parent and the student themselves to make sure that they're doing what they need to do to be a student athlete. And I mean, just some real basics. I mean, NCAA is an organization that essentially has been around for a long time and has tried to oversee a certain level playing field for the recruitment of athletes into college sports, so that all athletes, student athletes, are created and treated in a fair way. Some things that students should really, and then I think something we always talk about as school counselors, is really from eighth grade entering high school. And this isn't just about athletics. This is just about being, a smart student. It's creating a four-year plan and following through on that. And part of creating the four-year plan, if you're a student who is a strong athlete, you're going to know that coming into high school. You've participated in sports for a long time. You know how good you are compared to the competition. You may already be hearing from coaches about how good you are. And really beginning when you walk through that door of high school is really the time where you need to start making some quality plans as far as preparing for life after high school, not only for athletics, but also just for college admission, scholarships of all sorts, just to be prepared for whatever lies ahead.
Well, you know, Brian, everything you said is true, and you can say that in many different ways. But still, there's this thought, at least my experience has been, that you can kind of do what you want, and in the end, it's going to be okay. And we know that's not the case. I know when I work with a college coach and he's recruiting one of my players, you know, after they ask the question, is he good enough to play at this school? The second thing always is grades. What kind of student is that player? And I think people would be surprised to know that that is typically the second question that comes out of a recruiter's mouth. And I'm amazed at how a recruiter can look at a transcript and almost instantly know if that's a student that they can recruit, that they can get in. You know, they add up how many A's and B's they get, and they add up how many C's and D's they might have, and they already know what the grade point average is. You know, they just know this. And sometimes recruiting stops right there. And so, you know, part of what we want to do is get people to understand that the academic eligibility for the NCAA, it is truly important and has to be in the forefront of what you do as, you know, you're getting recruited.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, Tom. I mean, to paint things kind of with a broad brush here, a high school student minimally really to pass initial eligibility, NCAA Division I initial eligibility, needs a minimum of a 2.3 grade point average.
And that's in core subjects.
That is correct, yeah. Somewhat of a recent change within the past 3 years is that they have to lock in 10 of the 16 core units that are required for initial eligibility by the end of their junior year. Before the start of their senior year, they need to lock in 10 of those core. So those grades are immutable. So they can't go back and repeat a class to raise a grade up or something. Those 10 are locked in at the end of junior year. So they essentially come walking through the door of high school. They got those 3 years to make sure that they got those 10 core. They take those 10 core classes, number one, and that they do well enough in to lock down those grades by the end of junior year.
You know, Brian, when we're talking to Brian Hoffman, he's the Director of Guidance for Wauwatosa West. Brian, do the kids have to come to you for you to tell them this stuff, or is there something that they get when they come in as freshmen? I know that it's not the obligation, our obligation as coaches or administrators to have these kids know this. It's up to them and their parents. But is there something that they're given, or do you talk about this when kids come in as freshmen?
Well, I think, you know, when we – I can only speak to what we do in Wauwatosa, and then I think, you know, when it comes down to it, when we speak to our incoming freshmen, we're not necessarily addressing them as athletes, but we're addressing to them as students. And really, if you abide by the initial eligibility rules of NCAA – you're really also abiding by some general philosophy of just college admission requirements. So I think what we really hammer on is, so those core academic units I talk about hammering down, and I mean those, if you're a good high school student and you're really doing what you need to do to be ready for college life and to be able to gain admission to a decent four-year university, really those match very closely with the initial eligibility requirements. So we very much hammer on our kids just what you need to do to be competitive, whether you're a student athlete or just you know, a new college freshman.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Brian, can we hold you over for one more segment?
Sure.
Great. Again, Brian Hoffman is our guest, Director of Guidance of Wauwatosa West. Knows, as Tom said, knows more about NCAA eligibility. And those rules are always changing than anybody he knows. And we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. This is the Pick and Save WFCA show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, as always presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle. We are joined by Brian Hoffman, Director of Guidance for the Wauwatosa West School. We're talking NCAA eligibility. Hey, Brian, how often are these kids surprised? Yeah, and not just student athletes, but students. How often are they surprised when they come see you middle of their junior year, beginning of their senior year, and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about, you know, a 4-year school. Can we take a look at where I'm at?" Are they surprised that they don't have enough time to catch up?
Yeah, I think it's frequently a wake up call for high school kids when they get into that junior year. I think it's just an issue of development and a typical high school student that they don't necessarily take things very seriously until they get to that point in their career. I think the good news is that if they have, supportive coaching, a supportive athletic director, parents that are on top of it, that those kinds of things can be overcome. But there's certainly students that pass through my door and all of a sudden are surprised to learn that they're behind the eight ball. And sometimes it's very difficult for them to get to the point where they need to be in order to meet those eligibility criteria.
You know, Brian, I've had conversations through the years with other school counselors. And I coach. I'm on top of that whole, you know, NCAA eligibility thing. I get it. But I've been surprised through the years at how little really some school counselors know about the NCAA eligibility, and if they aren't on top of that, how can they be a good advisor for a student athlete who's thinking about playing in college? And let's be clear here, you know, you're talking about Division One and Division Two kids that have to meet these eligibility. Division Three, you do not. So you're really, in most schools, you know, at most a handful of kids are going to get scholarships in any given year in all the various sports. But have you found the same thing, Brian, where school counselors, a lot of them really do not know about NCAA eligibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're very much right. I mean, in any given year, I mean, I think we probably have kind of a bumper crop for us this year at Tosa West, and it's only a handful of kids that are going on to play scholarship to athletics after high school. And that's true any given year. So all the different things that we're responsible for doing as school counselors, NCAA, understanding NCAA eligibility is probably something pretty far down on most counselors' lists of things they really need to know or really use on a yearly basis. For any student athlete out there, what I would encourage you to do at your local high school is really to try to seek out within the counseling department at your high school, try to find out which counselor is the NCAA responsible for NCAA eligibility. And there's usually at least one person or a single person in that department is responsible for making sure that courses meet eligibility requirements and the register for the NCAA. And find out who that person is, and chances are that person knows the most about it, and that would really be the person to go to and ask the questions to.
At Tulsa East, I was that person. At Tulsa West, I'm sure you are. You mentioned classes being approved by the NCAA. Do you want to talk about that for just a moment?
Yeah, I mean, a couple things to think about is really the core, the 16 core classes, those credits that students have to take for eligibility. You could possibly, and this has happened, there's been lawsuits related to this, where a student was advised to take a certain English class, and the student thought it met core eligibility requirements. There's four core English units that a student has to take for eligibility. And if one of those classes hasn't been approved by the NCAA because the high school either dropped the ball and didn't go through the channels to make sure that course was approved, or it just didn't meet approval by NCAA, a student could find themselves in a situation where they don't have the units, and maybe they thought they did. So something simple that any student athlete can do is, and you can do this without registering as a student with the Eligibility Center, you can go into the high school portal. And so it's kind of a little slightly sneaky is instead of registering as a student, you go into the high school portal and you can put in the name of the high school, and you can find a list of all the courses that have been approved at your individual high school. So you can take it upon yourself to make sure that you're not making that mistake rather than necessarily trusting an advisor, whether or not they know which courses are eligible. Because sometimes as busy as we are, we just can't always keep up on all that stuff. But that's something simple you can do in the first place.
You know, guys, and we've all, I think, been through it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
When I had a kid one time, he was at Dominican, and he was a good basketball player, but a great football player. And he ended up going to a junior college in Mississippi. And he got done in a year and a half, and he came back. And I said, wow, he got done in a year and a half. And he said, you ever been to a junior college in Mississippi? I said, no. He said, it stinks. It was horrible. He said, I said, if you had to do it all over again, he said, I'd walk in my freshman year with a pocket protector, wire-rimmed glasses, never look at any of these girls over here, and I would make sure I qualified. And he said, Coach, if you ever want me to come speak and tell kids my story, please let me know. He said, because I'd love to have kids learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, and it happens. It really happens. I've worked with a number of students through the years who certainly had the ability to be a scholarship athlete, a Division I or Division II, that never got the chance because of grades.
Yeah, it's tough. Hey, Brian, keep up the good work. Things going pretty well at Tulsa West. You're looking forward to school year being done?
Yeah, well, we're already planning for the next school year, so that's kind of the life of a counselor. Just quickly to add one more thing, we talked a lot about grades, but also remember that the other factor in there is our test scores. And kids really need to be mindful of being test ready and how the important role that the doing well in the ACT or the SAT plays in that eligibility formula as well.
No doubt. Brian Hoffman, thank you very much, Coach
Thanks,
Swill.
Brian.
It's always good
You're
to welcome. See you, sir. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
You betcha.
This has been the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.